It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Podcast. I'm Joe Costello, and we are live on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and anything else we can connect to. We're going to go live. We got a great conversation with NHRA's Alan Reinhart. This is the weekly conversation that we have been having for like 15 years about NHRA drag racing. And normally the conversation will be about who won the race and how did they do it, what went down and all of that stuff. But obviously during our COVID-19 hiatus, we are just kind of catching up and keeping the plate warm and thinking about what it's going to be like to go back racing. So Alan is in the green room. You can get your comments and questions and whatever you want to harass us about, ready to go. In the meantime, I do want to tell you about the people who make WFO possible. Like, I don't know if you saw Friday Cocktails. We had a great time. Scott Palmer came on from his shop. We got Nitro Pro Mods in the background. And of course, Scott Palmer, supported by Magic Dry, and then Scott supports WFO. Thank you, Scott, the one official organic absorbent of the NHRA Magic Dry. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Frank Atlanta Hawley, still trying to work through this situation. The Dragster Adventure, though, I think is something that everybody's going to want to do when we get free, right? You're going to get a chance to go drive a dragster. Why would you not? Find out more at frankhawley.com. Marvin Rodak sent me some coffee and hot sauce and spice rub, and I've got this really cool coffee-themed facial mask. And it's coffee-themed, as you can see. But the guy's a great guy. He's a, you know, auto restoration pilot, coffee file. The guy is a genius. And he's a big supporter of WFO. Go to rodakscoffeeandgrills.com to find out more information. Order some coffee, and you get one of these. Or you did while supplies last, which is kind of cool. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinist and Technology. Start your education at full speed. And, of course, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Just getting ready to put up the next Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. John Kazi, going to be the guest, talk a little bit about offshore engine building and all that goes into it. So it is going to be great. I'm WFO Joe. You can find me here. And now it is time to bring on our guest from someplace that I have never seen. And isn't this the craziest? That you know, new technology enables us to see right into the heart of Wild West engineering. There he is, Alan Reinhart. Alan, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, Joe. Still a little bit bored, but I'll get through it. I forgot that you've never seen this place. You know, I guess you're just not quite inner circle. You know, Lewis Bloom has been here.
That tells
Warren
us.
Warren has been here.
Amanda, you know, right?
Amanda's been here. Yeah, pretty much everybody who's anybody has been here.
I was 10 miles away from Tucson. I was in, what is it, Marana? And I had family there, and I spent all day there, and I turned back. Next time, when we get back to Arizona, maybe, if I'm invited, of course. I know I've got the Christmas scotch tasting.
Anytime you're in the neighborhood, Joe, you're always welcome. I've got the coldest beer in town.
So give us a virtual tour. Not so virtual, but I see banners and flags. I see the beer cooler. I see all of it.
Actually, you don't see. Well, I don't know. Let's see here. Maybe I'm ruining this because I told Phil Burgess I'd do it since everybody's doing shop tours.
Oh.
I'll just give you a little, like, there's the famed Mustang.
The famed Mustang and living color.
My bike. That's the rickshaw. If you know anybody that wants a rickshaw, I'd love to part with that.
I saw you working somebody for the rickshaw the other day. Yeah, man. Yeah. Buy the rickshaw.
Wait, I got something to come up. Is that a little thing on your screen too, or is it just mine?
Just yours. I don't see it.
Okay. That's a banner that I got when I was over in Qatar at the Pro Mod race.
Oh, neat.
That is the beer chiller. Because I'm so proud of this. If somebody tells you they have the coldest beer in town, that's mine.
Yeah, that doesn't. Okay. That's below freezing.
Yeah, but it's beer. Beer doesn't freeze at 32.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you know the back bench and the rest of the shop, and so I'm going to do, like I said, I'm going to do a walkthrough tour for NHRA.com. Phil Burgess asked me if I'd do that, so keep your eyes open for a little further in depth coming.
Yeah, well, they're still creating content, and again, this is negative. Nobody wants this, but there's been some small silver linings. The idea that we've all had some time to go into the shops and learn about what people are doing and how they live and that they go out of their way to decorate. I like that kind of stuff. That's what it's all about. Now, Al, 2 weeks in a row, you're repping European racers. Last week it was Johnny Lindbergh and Richie Crampton. I don't even want to characterize how I'm saying it. Richie, obviously, Australia, and Johnny. But now you got the Eurochamp T-shirt. This back-to-back weeks. What's up with that?
Top of the clean T-shirt pile. Not really a conscious decision. I just, when I'm getting ready to come to the shop and when I'm here, I'm, you know, usually pretty casual. So just happened that, I guess, Anita's T-shirt was top of the pile. So this week I'm repping the European Top Fuel Champion.
There you
By
go.
By the way, she's been to my shop too, Joe. I can't believe you haven't.
I know.
Anita's never been to my shop, but she's welcome anytime.
Well, it's definitely on the bucket list now, if I make it back to Arizona. But the fact, we talked about it last week, you posted the new Hot Wheels video. It got rave reviews, by the way. You guys took it to the next level, which was pretty cool. I like that you did that. But, you know, your car culture down there, because of the great weather, is extreme. People like to have a vehicle, a buggy, whether it be a desert something or on pavement or asphalt. But people love their machines down there.
Yeah, no question. I've actually been spending a lot of time on my motorcycle here as of late, just because I got so much time. And the weather's been perfect. It's really getting ready to start warming up. You know, I spoke to Brian Loans this past week, and he got snow up at his place in Massachusetts. We're going to be 90 degrees here by the weekend, and we'll probably see our first 100-degree day in the next couple of weeks. So it's getting to the point where it's going to be a little uncomfortably warm outside, but right now we're enjoying the heck out of it.
Yes, exactly. And that's what it is. Like here in South Florida, a lot of people do the boating and fishing thing. Now, we've got great car culture, but boating and fishing, it just makes a sense. You guys out there got these great roads. They're smooth. They're flat. Why not have a cool, fast car?
Exactly. And there's also, as you mentioned, there's a lot of desert stuff that goes on out here. You know, a lot of guys on dirt bikes or side-by-sides or sand buggies that, you know, it's not a bad way to social distance. If you got, you know, you and your buddy or you and your significant other in a side-by-side and you're not blasting across the desert, then you're not creating any problems. But speaking of social distance, you guys opened the beaches back up. I'm taking that as a good sign that Gainesville could be coming.
Well, you know, I don't know. My honest opinion is that it's a little too soon because North Florida and South Florida are very different, as you can imagine. Northern California, Southern California, we're far from each other. And most of the problem is down here in South Florida. So that is good. That makes sense. But if we have a flare up because they opened too early, then maybe it will cause us some trouble because what is it? It's like 14 days after. So they've opened the beaches in 14 to 20 days. We'll know if there's a flare-up or not. I hope not. Man, the Gator Nationals, I'm so eager to get out there and be at a race. But I just hope we're not pushing the issue. Like, what's another 10 days after all of this, right? And the analogy I've been using is the hurricane, which you guys don't have that. You deal with storms. But the person who goes out in the eye of the storm or the hurricane who thinks it's over, like, isn't this great? It's beautiful out. And then the storm crushes them, the backside. I'm just cautious about that. But I hope they have more information than I do. And I definitely want to go to the Gator Nationals. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I think that, I hope we can get back to it soon. I was listening to NASCAR radio this morning on my way into the shop. They're talking about, you know, hopefully getting fired back up in May. Obviously at this point, everything's on the table, but I think that we need to, at some point, we need to find out. And if opening the beaches is a way to find out, then great, let's find out. And if that goes well, then hopefully that we can start kind of creeping back into the rest of it. But everybody I talk to, and I make a point of calling one or two people a day, just check on them. Just, you know, hey, how's it going? What's happening? What's keeping you busy? And everybody's exactly the same. We just want to go back to work. I mean, you know, forget the racing aspect of it. We want to go back to work, and we're ready to go back to work. So hopefully the June is realistic, and I've still got my fingers crossed.
Well,
I've still got a plan.
Exactly. Yesterday I was on quarantine with the Carusos, and we had this whole conversation, and that's all everybody wants to do. The thing is that, depending on who you listen to, but I think in this case, like, leadership has got the best of intentions. We want to get back. Nobody wants to keep the world closed forever. No more beaches, no more fun, stay at home. Like, we all kind of agree that we want to get back. And when you're involved in drag racing, it's not like you're digging ditches for work. Like, we love going to work. That's where the fun is. That's where the people are. That's what we have devoted our lives to doing and knowing. So we all want to get back. I just am cautious. That's all. I don't want to jump the gun. But I do agree. We can't stay closed forever. Let's see how it goes in some target areas. Like, obviously, you know, North Dakota, right, where there's nobody anyway, Wyoming, they're living by different rules than we are in New York and Los Angeles and here in Miami, Florida. So we just got to see. We got to be smart. We got to, you know, do our best to no more shaking hands, right? Like, that's over. Like, hey, Alan. Hey, Joe. And there it is. But racing, we got to get back to it.
Yeah, it's time. I mean, I'm scared to death that I'm getting so bored in my shop. I'm going to start working on stuff that doesn't need to be worked on. And so that's why I need to get back to work. I just need to get out of here, because doing nothing is something that I'm really bad at. So there will come a time when I start taking stuff apart that ain't broke, and don't want that. And nobody wants that. I spoke to Jason Lyne yesterday. You know, he's kind of in the same position. They are so ready to go racing. You know, they're still piddling around in the shop a little bit when they're able to get there. But you know, just everybody's afraid that they're going to dive into something stupid just because they're bored. So we need to be able to get back to work.
All right. So I've opened it up for comments. We're on Facebook, the WFO Radio Facebook page and group. We're on Twitter. And we are on YouTube. And so we're getting a smattering of comments. For instance, Tommy Noodles weighing in out there. Tommy was on XM back in the day, would put you up and we would do the deal. Tommy Noodles is out there doing some things. Ali is out there. Ali is taking a shot. Hasn't spoken with you in forever. And he's taking a shot about Face for Radio.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, they call me the voice of NHRA. One quick glance, and you know why I'm not the face of NHRA. So that's fine. I'm good with that.
And Ali is doing comedy sessions, like he's teaching people to be stand-up comedians. And Jason Logan is going through the course as well. Brian says he loves the Stang. The best part about the Stang is that you've had it since high school. That's the best part of it. That's like your car.
Yeah, I bought that car when I was 17 years old. I'm pretty proud of it. You know, over time, it's been through a couple of itinerations, but it's pretty clean inside.
There we go. Now, do you have Wi-Fi in your office there, in your shop?
No, we're just
on
the phone.
We're on the cell phone. All right, well, you got to pop the hood, obviously. And if it's not, what do you mean? You got to pop the hood. That's it.
Nah, it's dirty.
And no one will see through the phone.
I mean, I'll show you what I'm afraid of.
All right.
The engine that's under there.
Yes.
Is a 428-inch dark small block. Gas burner, makes about 700 horsepower. The car runs very well. This engine is the one out of Chuck's wrecked Mustang.
Yes.
428-inch Dart small block. Set up for alcohol, makes about 900 horsepower. That would bolt directly in there. Everything would fit perfectly. The headers would fit. The alternator, everything would fit perfectly.
Yeah.
But
do
I'm
it.
Trying very hard. I'm trying very hard not to take my car apart.
You got
to
do it, man. You got to do it. That thing, how does it handle? In that, you know, there's that pro touring thing people do with their cars, and it looks like you haven't cut the car at all. You know, do you have drag race suspension or just a whole lot of power?
It's got Caltrax on the back of it. It's got split monoleafs and drag racing shocks. It's got front runner tires on the front of it. It's set up more to go straight line to go around corners, but it's ridiculously overpowered as it sits. I mean, literally 65 miles an hour going down a freeway, you just lay your foot down, it'll do a burnout. So one of the reasons that I don't want to take it apart is because I've had the car since I was 17 years old, and it basically right now is what I always dreamed it could be. It is obnoxiously overpowered, loud, and ridiculously fast, and that's what I wanted. If I take it apart, put the alcohol engine in it, okay, I pick up a couple hundred more horsepower, but I lose all the drivability. Because if I fill the tank up, I can't drive it 15 miles and it's out of fuel. So
right.
You know, I'm trying very hard not to take it apart because I really, really like the car the way it is now. It's it finally is what I wanted it to be, and I don't want to take it apart.
Well, I get it. That makes perfect sense. My friend Mark Baker's out there. He wants to know if it's live. Gareth, who is from the Brainerd area, has got a Pinto super street car. He's loving your car. Our buddy Jeff Foster is out there. What's up, Jeff? How are you, sir? Foster doing a...
Jeff joined us last week on virtual happy hour. Tucson Dragway is doing a virtual happy hour every week, and Jeff was part of that last week. So welcome aboard. He's just like the rest of us, bored and wants to get out of the house and back to work.
Steve Wong out there checking in, saying what's up. And that's the thing about the Facebook, the power of the Facebook Live. And everybody starting watch parties. Hopefully you will start a watch party or have started a watch party, because there are people who are unaware that they should be subscribed to WFO Radio on Apple Podcasts, who now will find out. All right, Derek wants to know, hey, Joe, was watching the press conference yesterday. You were in the hotspot area. Stay safe. Yeah, I know that. I'm in the hotspot. That's why I'm not going out. Here's a question for Alan. Since the Nitro teams have had so much extra time and the Mad Scientist crew chiefs have been thinking, are we going to be seeing more records this year?
Well, give us good weather. And, you know, I think one thing that we will see is less tire smoke and less aborted runs. And I honestly believe that the guys having the extra time are going over all the details. And it really is all about the details. You know, it's been said for years and years, all of the real racing takes place at the shop. Because if you're not prepared when you get to the racetrack, you're not going to have a good weekend. So the people that have the extra time at the shop, and now Indy's been under stay-at-home order, so most of those teams have not been going to the shop, at least under over the last few weeks. But for the first couple of weeks that they were home, it's details, details, details. And when you've got all of that in place before you leave the shop, you're going to be better when you get to the track.
Everybody's finding things to do. Bobby Graham is building fences, and people are avoiding him, which makes sense. I finished my pressure cleaning job. Alan, inside, outside, top, bottom, the fence is complete.
Well, that's awesome. Now you got to find something else to do, or you're going to start taking something apart. You got the engine out of the Firebird yet?
No, because it's over there by my father. I've been giving him some space. I know. I've been giving him some space. And the guy who's going to do the bottom half for me is, he's got his own issues related to this medical stuff. So I don't want to same deal. I don't want to get a car that at least drives around right now into a state of in a million pieces without a clear plan to put it back together. So I feel what you're saying with that. Foster says he's out at the track doing my check of everything. Man, this track looks lonely. Yeah, I'm sure it does. Nothing worse than a empty racetrack.
Well, anybody that follows me on Twitter, I'm notorious for being the first one at the racetrack in the morning. I might not be the last one out of there at night, but I'm the first one there in the morning. And I love posting pictures of the empty stadium, just like waiting to be woke up, waiting to see the cars come blasting down, whether it's nitro cars or stock eliminator cars. And yeah, they definitely look lonely when they're empty, especially when it's a beautiful, perfect day and you should be out there doing something.
Now, people have to sign in so that we can broadcast their profile, and not everybody does that. But someone says, Alan found out at the Tucson Divisional last year how long it takes for the battery to go dead. Do you know what he's referencing? Yeah,
no.
Exactly. I don't either. One vote for do it, but only if you're bored, of course. They want you to start the Stang now. See, this is what happens. Once you invite them into your home, now they're asking for things. Next thing you know, they'll want a beer. We want a virtual beer. Pour it on the phone.
It sounds like a NASCAR Cup car. Just, I mean, I can start it if you really want me to, but it sounds like a NASCAR Cup car.
Right. Well, maybe at the end of the show. Cheers from Kentucky, says Jason. Let's see. I thought I heard most nitro is manufactured in China. Will this affect the fuel supply for racing this year? This is a saga that has kind of popped back up with all this China talk going on right now. I think that's been the status quo for a while, but do you have any information?
I don't. I believe, and I don't have any facts to back this up. But yes, the nitro comes from China, but I believe that there is a pretty solid stockpile of it here in the United States. I don't think that it's a, you know, as needed, they send us two barrels every 2 weeks kind of thing. So I don't believe that's an area of concern. And again, I don't have any facts to back that up. That's what I think.
Our listeners are problem solvers, Alan. Derek says you should just put the alcohol engine into the rickshaw. Problem solved.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is the rickshaw has got a Corvair engine in it, and it would be a whole different can of worms to bolt the alcohol engine into the rickshaw. And since the rickshaw does wheelies with the Corvair engine, it's scary to think what it would do. Actually, if I put that engine in the rickshaw, it probably the front wheels would just be in the air when it was parked, so that would make it more difficult to drive.
Yes.
Cutting brakes.
Makes perfect sense. Tim Welch. At events like Topeka, which will be a two-day show, will they run Pro Mod, Top Fuel Harley, and alcohol cars on Friday at all?
I believe so, yes. I think the two-day show is for the Mellow Yellow Series. They're going to qualify the Mellow Yellow cars on Saturday and race them on Sunday. But of the Lucas cars, my understanding, would all still be running on Friday because as we run the show now, you know, the Lucas cars would run on Friday, and then Saturday they'll go into eliminations. So we are down to a manageable number of cars when we get to Sunday. So my understanding is that the only thing that would be missing from the Friday show would be the Mellow Yellow cars, but the rest of the Friday show would go basically as what the normal schedule would be.
Oh, that's great. That's great. For fans of drag racing, there's going to be drag racing, and that's a big deal. It's just a little easier on the Mellow Yellow Series guys. How is the new point system, the new old point system, going to change crew chiefing strategy? I have been thinking about this a lot. The countdown is not a thing this year, and every point that you get along the way matters towards the championship. And you know, there are some races that people were planning on skipping. They're probably not going to do that now. I don't know, but you know, you make hay when someone else is not. When they're testing, right? Like back in the day, sometimes teams would go into test mode, and if you could get a couple of wins while they're testing, then you make a move on them. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be very different because of exactly what you said. You know, at this point, every point counts, every round counts, so you won't be able to go into test mode. You know, there have certainly been teams over the course of the past few years that have been very upfront about it. You know, hey, as long as we're in the top four or five when we get to Indy, they're going to reset the points.
Get it on the track.
Run. And if that means that, you know, they experiment a little bit when they're out in Sonoma, or they experiment a little bit when they're in Brainerd because they know they're going to be second or third in points anyway. You know, I'm not saying they're not trying to win the race, but it's not the first priority. The first priority is making sure that you're ready when we get into the countdown. So now that every round is going to count for points, you can't go into that experimentation mode if you want to be a serious championship contender. And I think you're going to see the level of competition go up during the summertime when some of the teams were going into experimentation mode.
And we're talking about wanting to get out and do. And, you know, the economy is going to be interesting. It's going to be tough because a lot of people will have not worked and all. But at the same time, the pent-up desire to go do what you love, whatever that is. Like, I think we're going to, my feeling is we're going to have once the all clear is given and we go racing, we're going to have a lot of people out there just getting back to what they love because they have not been able to do it for so long. Even the part-time teams, and at least for a few races, and then, you know, the economics may kick in.
I agree with that. Think about this, though, just from a what-if scenario. What if Steve Torrence finishes second in the points by 2 rounds or 3 rounds?
Yeah.
When he didn't go to Pomona. And that's a realistic possibility now. You know, he wasn't concerned with it then because obviously his team is confident that they're going to make it into the countdown. And they've been very good in the countdown since they've been out here running full time. But, you know, that's a real what if. And all you have to do is go back and look at, what was it, 1992, I believe, when Corey Mack decided, you know, we're going to skip Montreal. You know, getting in and out of Canada can be a little bit of a headache and all the extra expense and all the stuff. We're just going to skip it. And then they ended up losing the championship by points they would have gained just for making a qualifying effort. If they go to Montreal and qualify, they would have won the championship. Maybe it was 1990. But anyway, it was, you know, that's how much every point can matter. And every point this year is going to matter.
I agree. And it's when you are 10 years down the line, looking back at the greatest domination in Top Fuel history, you know, of course, Tony Schumacher, and you think of all the greats. Steve Torrence is in the middle of a run. And what could derail a run? When you're looking at the name on the list, right? Torrence. Skipping a race the very beginning of the season when you didn't realize, and they had their reasons, of course. But craziness happens, season shortened, craziness happens. Who knows who's the champ at the end? That having been said, they were running pretty well when we last left off, and no indication that they're going to fall off for any reason.
No, I mean, I don't expect them to, but, you know, you just never know what's going to happen during the course of the season. I actually talked to Steve last week. They're still very busy. You know, obviously, the oil prices right now are a big topic of conversation. But being in the pipeline business, you know, what they do is make sure that fluids can get transferred and things can get where they need to go. And I don't see that shutting down because, as everybody knows, the roller coaster is going to do this and then it's going to do this again. And everybody's going to need to be ready to go at that time. So I hope that this won't affect them too severely as far as a negative impact on their work and their finances. And they'll be able to keep up, you know, continue to race at the level that they have been. But and I believe that to be the case.
Yes. Well, and we'll see. But I would agree. And that's their passion. Right. Which is a little different than just something you do. Junior John Dawkins, I'm glad he told me it's Cabbage. Now I know exactly who he is. Just saying what's up from Division Two. What's up, Cabbage? Thank you for letting me know. D2 in the house. Jolie Mitchell wants to know if Indy's still going to be a week-long show, like the specifics of the Indy schedule. Do you know anything about that?
I believe so. I believe it's on the schedule to be, the full Indy event. I think, you know, everybody is kind of assuming that by then, you know, Indy being kind of the end of the summer, that we will be back to full normal or very close to it. I believe that Indy will be, you know, the full show as it always is. I sure hope so because, you know, things like class eliminations and, you know, the full field of stockers and super stockers, the Hemi shootout, you know, the factory showdown, all of that stuff that makes Indy special. I'd hate to see any of it go away.
Absolutely. Evan Smith is out there. Says that the Mustang is on his two-drive list. Will you allow Evan to drive your Mustang?
Absolutely. He's welcome to it anytime.
I really
want this car to make a 9-second run at some point in its life. It'll run low tens the way it sits. I don't know that there's a better four-speed driver on the planet right now than Evan, and he also weighs about 100 pounds less than me. So he and I have actually talked about it, but he is welcome to the cockpit of this thing anytime. And believe me, that's a really, really short list of people. But Evan is welcome to this car anytime he wants it.
You hear that, Evan? We got it set up. Last week, we set up that Angie Smith is going to get to test fire Scott Palmer's car. Palmer's going to get to ride Angie's Pro Stock motorcycle back to the pits after a run. All kinds of, like, things are coming together. We need to keep track. Evan, very talented racer. He's been playing video games online. And I'm watching, he's not just a straight liner. Let's put it that way. He can get around the road course as well.
Well, and I don't know that because I haven't been following him that much online, but I do know that when it comes to clutch cars, I mean, Evan Smith today is like Ronnie Sox or Herb McCandless was back in the day. I mean, he is that good. When Ford was putting together the new Cobra Jets, new stuff, and they wanted a clutch car tested, they would call Evan and say, hey, we need you to come in and drive this thing. So that's why, you know, with my car being a clutch car, it's got a G-Force 5-speed transmission in it. If you want to get the most out of it, he's my guy.
Current weight, 158 pounds.
Okay, a little less than 100 less than me. But still, you know, I mean, he and I have talked about it. So, Joe, that's not a deal that you brokered. You can take credit for it if you want, but he and I have had a conversation before.
Definitely.
That if we're all ever in the same place, that he's got to have a helmet so we can get in the same.
But if it happens, though, we definitely closed the deal here in public.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If it happens.
Absolutely. So Cabbage mentions about the Vegas race in the fall. Will it be four wide? The answer is no, but there will be a four wide in Charlotte at the end of the year. But I did wonder about that. Like,
I believe the thinking is, and again, I'm in Arizona, so
sure.
I'm not in the corporate offices on a daily basis, which are closed anyway. But I believe that the Charlotte event was deemed to be four wide because the Charlotte fans really seem to flock to that. They really seem to appreciate that four wide event. And I believe the reason that the Vegas race wasn't was because it is still the second one to the end of the championship and that the championship should be decided mano a mano. That at least is my line of thinking. Jeff Foster might know more about that. I mean, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, Jeff, feel free to weigh in. And if need be, I can even send you a link and getting on here. Know anything, or have you heard anything? Gator Nationals is still a go for June, and that's what we're hoping. We're kind of in a wait and see, but that's the schedule. The schedule has not been updated. And anecdotally, it feels in the neighborhood of what might be right, because we're not even in May yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's still, what, 6 weeks or so away. You know, NASCAR, as I said, I was listening to NASCAR radio on the way into the shop this morning. They are still hoping to be back on track in May. You know, the things are starting to go back to normal. And what exactly that's going to mean a month from now, I don't think anybody knows. But I have high hopes. Let's just put it that way.
I agree. And we just got to wait it out and get our equipment right and make it as nice as is possible. And when we go racing, we go racing. But it is going to be cool. All right, I got a question. I found myself in my garage yesterday. And, I got a 1.5 car garage. So it is domestic meets car guy. And there's beach stuff and a cooler and all of these things. And, you know, organizing it is sometimes challenging. But I went in and I just got rid of all the garbage. That was phase one. Like, this is no longer necessary. This is garbage, Joe. Because I've been known to hang on to things a little too long. My friends call me a hoarder, which is not true. I don't have a problem. But I do see value in things that I'm about to throw away, and I'm cautious about throwing things away. But organizing a toolbox, organizing a workspace. You have been involved in heavy machinery mechanics. You worked in a pro stock shop. Is there a preferred method that you're aware of that, oh, yeah, all the good guys, they do it this way?
Well, the preferred method is to have an unlimited budget. And then every time you need something, just buy a brand new one.
Right.
You know, once you've used this, just toss it and buy a new one. That's the preferred method if you have the budget.
Yes.
And no, I'm the wrong guy to ask for that, because I think I'm a lot like you. You know, you take things apart and go, okay, this may come in handy someday. And then you realize 5 years from now, it's like, I don't know why I saved that thing in the first place. And you know, one of the classic things that I do, boxes, right? I don't ship 3 things a year, but I get things from time to time.
Yes.
I'm going to show up and it's like, hey, that's a nice box. I need to keep this because, you know, there will come a time when I need to ship something and I need a box. And I pile all the boxes up on my old Hogger mill over here until I can't see the mill anymore. And then at some point I go, okay, this is stupid because I've saved 900 boxes and I use 2 a year. So I go through and throw them all away and start over again, and then the pile builds again.
I am exactly like that. That is, you just touched something right there, because I just threw away all my boxes. I said, enough with the boxes, Joe. Throw them away. You will get a new cache of boxes in a month with all the Amazon stuff that comes in here. But that's a nice box. When you say that, I know you're speaking my language. It's hysterical, and it's also a problem.
And, you know, my dark fear is that I'm going to throw this box away and then I'll need it tomorrow. Now, so far, that has happened exactly 0 times.
Right.
None. But it's still, like, every time it's like, but what? And the but what is, you know, you can always just go get another stupid box someplace.
Well, actually, I did throw away the boxes the other day. And then yesterday I'm going through sorting my stuff, like, you know, okay, safety stuff, like safety glasses and gloves and all that I made. Oh, like, what would be great if I had a box to put all this stuff in? Oh, I threw away the boxes. Ah, but I'll get another one. There'll be a new box coming around soon. But I was just wondering about the organization of a toolbox, because everybody seems to have their own, I guess your height and accessibility all factor in comfort, but I was wondering if there was like an industry standard, if the crew chiefs set things up a certain way based on, I guess, the stuff that you use the most needs to go in the most convenient place.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that there's necessarily a standard like that. I think it's pretty basic. As long as you know where it is, you know, if you know that, hey, if I need a wrench, they're here. If I need a screwdriver, they're here. If I need, you know, sockets, they're here. You're going to be fine. I don't know that you have to put, you know, this on top and this on the bottom. Other than, you know, if you've got a big roll-around shop box, you always put the heavy stuff on the bottom because that makes your box a whole lot more stable.
Right.
You got 4 drawers at a time open, the thing doesn't fall over on you. But, you know, as long as you know where it is, that's the important thing. If you know where it is, you're fine.
It's definitely in the garage somewhere. I'll just have to go find it. It's at the shop. We'll be able to find it after a few hours. Scott says shortening qualifying could make for some really exciting racing, dramatic racing on these shortened qualifying races.
I agree. You know, since we're not going to have Friday night and we're not going to have prime time, which I know a lot of the fans are going to miss at some of the races, because that has really started to develop into a fun part of the weekend. But if you've only got two, you might play a little bit more conservative, especially on the first one, because you need to get down the track. You need to be sure that you're locked in the show. And will that mean that we're going to have some interesting round one matchups? I sure hope so. You know, I know that it's always fun when you see something, you know, okay, we go into qualifying until you and I are second and third in points, and we go into qualifying and, man, I screwed up. I end up 15th and you end up second. That's a huge deal now, because if I want to chase you down in points, I can get you out of there early and potentially make a big move this weekend. On the other side of the coin, while I've been struggling, is you can go ahead and kick me while I'm down, then you've got an opportunity to put some room between you. And that's always a bigger round. You know, when players that are next to each other in the points or players that are battling it out for a championship fight in the final round, okay, well, you know, somebody's going to, you know, it's a 40-point swing. But when they fight in the first round or the second round, that could potentially be an 80-point swing. And that is huge. And I hope it happens a lot, because it sure makes our job a lot of fun when we get to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Huge swings. And, again, the fact that there's no countdown is going to fundamentally change the way we count the points. And the championship is on at all times. This user says, I have 6 empty boxes in my office right now. I do have 10 full ones stacked up ready for Goodwill when they're accepting again. So that's nice, using the boxes to bring stuff.
That would be a great thing to use the boxes for. To tell you the truth, that's something that I really need to do. I've got a lot of clothes, shirts, things that from over the years just always end up in a closet or in a pile someplace. And this would be a good time that I could go through some of that stuff and take it to the Goodwill. So maybe I'll put that on my list of things to do instead of taking the Mustang apart.
Yeah, well, I did that in the first week, the cleaning out the closets and finding the old bracket finals team shirts that don't fit. And what do you do with that? Like, it's so full of memories, and it's almost, in a way, a trophy. Like, you've got all this, all my XM satellite gear, shirts, everything. What do I do with that stuff? Do I just throw it away? Do I bring it to Goodwill and let someone wear a shirt that says Joe Costello on it? I don't know. Those are all tough decisions.
Well, one of the things that I do, ESPN, for whatever reason, was really big on long-sleeve shirts. So back in the day, I had a pretty fair collection of long sleeve ESPN shirts, and those are now my welding shirts when I'm here in the shop. So when I've just brought them down here, and you know, if you're going to be welding, I don't want to get my arms sunburned and peeling, so always wear long sleeves when I'm welding. And instead of putting on leather, I just put on one of my old ESPN shirts, so at least I found a home for them. But now I'm the same way. You know, I go through my closet and it's like, okay, I haven't been in this section of the closet for 5 years, surely I can throw everything here away. And I go, hey, a Ron Capps Copenhagen shirt,
right? Exactly.
Can't throw that away.
No.
That's nostalgia. Hang on. And then pretty soon I go through the whole closet and, you know, I've thrown away one shirt. So
one's left. Eric says, most used tools at waist level, sockets, wrenches, screwdrivers, etc. That makes sense. We don't know who this person is, but they say, thoughts on Bill Bader video last week. Did you see the Bill Bader video? He ended up on headline news. He got a lot of national attention. Did you see the video?
I didn't watch the whole video, but I do know the story, and I kind of got the gist of it. And I think that Bill Bader did what Bill Bader set out to do. I think Bill wanted to get some attention and wanted to, you know, Bill doesn't stick his toe in the water. If he's going in, he's going all in. And I think that's what he did. He wanted to find out, you know, look, are they going to tell me absolutely no way, no how, no chance? Are they going to give me an opening? And he decided to, you know, ask loudly instead of, hey, psst, I have a question. It was like, what do you guys want to do here? And I applaud him for it. I think that, you know, make a little noise. Let's find out. And we'll see. I hope he can get his racetrack open. I certainly understand from a business standpoint. You know, I know a lot of small business people around here that are in a very difficult boat. You know, we've got very loyal employees. We've got people that have been with us a long time. We've got people that we feel like they're family. We want to take care of them. But if I've got no income, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? And he's in a position where I think he feels frustrated and he wants to try to do something. And I like his approach. I like the fact that, you know, one of the things with Bill Bader, if you have a conversation with Bill, when you're finished, you know exactly where he stands. Whether you agree with him, whether you disagree with him, whether you think he's right, he's going to tell you what he thinks with the information that he's got, and you're going to know exactly where you stand. And there's absolutely nobody, whether it's in the racing world or any other world right now, that goes, I wonder what Bill meant by that. What he meant is simple. I need to get back to work. I need to keep my employees on payroll. I need to make some things start happening for my business. And I hope it works out for him.
Yeah, he all the great reasons that we love to go there, that it's their family business, and it's he said it over and over again. This is what we have. It's not like we have a factory and this is one of our secondary things. We own a racetrack, put him in a tough situation. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's what they say. And he definitely squeaked a lot. And he got on the radar of a lot of people. And it all comes down to what we've been saying. Like, can we get going again? Let's see. Selena is out there. Have a quilt made out of the shirts, Alan. You could have a quilt. You know who makes these quilts is actually Nikki, the social media maven from NHRA. That's her hobby. She takes old T-shirts and makes quilts out of them. Did you know that?
Well, there you go. You can keep Nikki busy.
Yeah, exactly. Right? She doesn't have other things to do, being basically the constant voice of the NHRA through this entire period with very little content to share. Let's see. Throw boxes away, buy clear containers, and store your stuff on a shelf. We're getting advice. I thought they're supposed to ask us the questions. Now we're getting the advice on what to do. But that does seem to be a good idea. The clear containers as opposed to boxes, but the clear containers don't show up for free, Bobby.
I don't know. Some of that stuff, you know, I think that if you just make more and more storage area, you're going to save more and more junk that you don't need. I think it's almost better to go, okay, look, this is the area that I got. What's important? And the rest of the stuff either needs to find a new home or needs to go get recycled or do something like that. You know, toolboxes are exactly like shop space. If the only thing you had to put your tools in was a milk crate, you could put every tool you needed in a milk crate. If you have a ginormous rolling cabinet with 47 drawers in it, you're going to put something in every drawer, and pretty soon you're going to need more room. You know, I have a 1,200 square foot shop, and it's full. If I had twice this, it would still be full. I would spread out a little bit more, and I would buy more junk, and I would have, but you know what? You just need to, I think, if this is the space you got to figure out your priorities, and that keeps you from just piling on and piling on. Otherwise, you know, you pretty soon you fill up your whole space, and then what? Well, we need to find bigger space. Go rent something, go buy something, go do something, and then you got more and more junk. And, you know, if you haven't worn it 2 years, recycle it.
I like it.
Kind of like on the tool thing. If you have to borrow a tool, everybody has to borrow a tool every once in a while. The second time you have to borrow a tool, you should buy one.
Right.
Because if you needed it twice, you're going to need it again. At this point, you should own one.
There you go. That's what I like. You know, tricks of the trade like that. And I agree. My father was always, we had Antron here early on a couple of weeks ago, said exactly that. And, you know, and get a good quality one, too. Don't just get the cheapest one known to man, because it's not going to last. But yes, got to buy good quality stuff. And that way you're equipped the next time you need it. You know, I was having a conversation. I think it was Nikki Bonifanti telling me about the having a machine shop in his basement in Philadelphia area. And you know about, you know, the population density up there. Everybody's all over the top of one another, but they figured out how to make it work. And they had a machine shop in their basement in, urban Philadelphia area. So it can be done. It all depends. Meanwhile, then there's Oklahoma, where you can just build for miles and nobody even knows.
That sounds like a lot of carrying stuff up and down the stairs to me.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I can tell you that one of the scary things about having a machine shop, even a little one like I have, is you get into where, okay, this piece works perfectly, but if I shaved a little off of this, or if I made this a little different, or if I welded this up, I could make it better. And you end up spending a lot of time doing a lot of really silly stuff. Like, this car behind me has got billet aluminum radiator saddles. They're the coolest thing nobody's ever seen, because the only way to see them is to take the radiator out. And the Ford, the big block cars had saddles on the bottom, the radiator sits, and then it clamps on top. And I made billet for both sides of it just because. You know, the stock ones probably would have worked fine. They worked fine for every Mustang that was made in the history of the world. but I have a machine shop. So when I'm looking at this stock piece of stamped steel little thing, it's like, you know, I could make one of those billet. Wouldn't that be cool? And then you end up spending hours and hours doing silly stuff like that.
Yeah, but I admire that. That's what the whole core of the mentality is. What is it? I think I can make it better. I think I can make it run faster. I think I can make it hook harder. And you try. And that's it. And sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you come up with a great innovation. That's how all of these things, these great businesses that are in drag racing, have come about. They've innovative. And that is the spirit. Even though you're doing it on a small level for your own Mustang, that adds to the pride with which you look at the car. You put blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. And I'm not sure what the car would look like if I didn't have the shop that I have right now. And I don't mean, you know, from the outside, because it would have been painted at exactly the same place. But putting the engine in the car, Mustang guys will understand this. This car has got a turn signal hood on it. It is perfect. It is flat. It doesn't have a speck of rust. It doesn't have a speck of Bondo. It is a perfect turn signal hood. I'm not cutting a hole in it. And even though the engine that's in it is a tall deck dart block and it's got a tall manifold on it, and the clearance was going to be a huge issue, so I simply moved it. I had to make a new crossmember for it. I had to drop the steering linkage for it. Made motor mounts. Made a new transmission mount. Made because I have the shop and I have the capability to do it. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have the shop. So I just don't know, you know. And for everybody that has told me, well, just go buy a fiberglass hood for it, then what am I going to do with this one?
Right.
Make hanging a coffee on the wall. Table out? I mean, yeah. What am I going to lean it up against the wall and tell everybody that's a really cool hood? And I think, and it's kind of the same way sometimes, you know, one of the reasons I like stock and super stock cars so much. And sometimes, you know, when you see whether it's super street or super comp machines, the flat hood thing is kind of cool. And so the concept of the fact that this car has a flat hood on it and the turn signals in the hood do work, that's kind of special to me.
Jalen checking in from Jersey. I run into him and the missus in the pits every now and again. He says, Alan, you're the man.
Aw.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned the flat hood thing. We went through that, and I'll bring up a shot of my own vehicle right over Alan's head, but steel hood, but we went with a hood scoop, right? There he is. Man, great regret about that. Should have figured out how to, I can always go back, but I would have to match paint. Now it's too much work. I got 10 other projects, but tried to fight for the flat hood with the Cal Induction scoop, and it just wasn't doable at the time. But now, oh my gosh, well, I wish I had that.
If this car from the factory hadn't had a turn signal hood and didn't have a turn signal hood on it when I bought it, I don't know if it would have been that big deal. I legitimately might have put the old square snorkel scoop, you know, the old school style.
Yeah.
Because it was back in 1967, right? So why not? And I had one of those hardwood snorkel scoops on my Roadrunner for a number of years, and I like it. I like the look. I get it. It's not as aerodynamic. I don't care. I just think it looks cool.
It does.
So I very much might have done that. But when I had the hood for this, that's perfect. And I said, I don't want to cut a hole in it. And if it wasn't a turn signal hood, it wouldn't bother me near as much. And for those of you who maybe don't know or don't speak Ford,
yeah,
I'll save you for
the next question. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just nodding, and I figure eventually he'll show us. And look, I was right.
In the hood, can you see those?
Yes.
Right there?
Yes.
That's the turn signal indicator for the driver.
Oh, interesting.
So when you're sitting in the car, when your turn signal's on, that's the indicator for the driver, as opposed to having, you know, the little blinking arrow on the dash. And, you know, it's certainly like it's not the only one in the world, but every Mustang hood wasn't a turn signal hood. It was kind of part of the trim package. It's a GT car with deluxe interior. It had it. And I think it's cool. I like the fact that it's on the car. And that, you know, cutting a flat hood is a flat hood. Cutting a turn signal hood is like, yeah, I just couldn't bring myself.
I agree with that. No, that's a little bit blasphemy. You can't damage things that are rare. You have to go with it. All right, Alan, I think this has been a great conversation, but you're in the entertainment biz. You know that there has to be a big finish, right? So I'm trying to think about what the big finish should be as we check in with Alan from Wild West Engineering. I think that you should get in the car with this thing and put the phone up on the A-pillar and fire it up, and then we'll let you go. What do you think? What's your submission for big finish?
Well, speaking as an engine guy, starting a dead cold engine and revving it up.
Well, you'd have to rev it. You could just idle it. I don't want you to do damage to it. Don't you have to turn it over every once in a while anyway?
All right, I'll gently rev it up for you.
No, you don't have to rev it, but that's what they want to hear, Alan. You know they want to.
I'm going to leave the phone here because since I'm sitting behind the car, you'll hear it better here than if I take the phone in the car.
Point the phone a little bit to its left so we can see more of the car. A little more. There, that's good. That's perfect. There it is. All right. And Alan, then I guess you'll come back to it after it's over and we'll say goodbye.
I hope I haven't forgotten to turn the water pump off again.
Don't do that.
If I did, it won't start.
Oh, okay. Alan, do you have the foot-operated windshield washer? Bobby Graham wanted to know that. And Foster says it's loud. We'll see, Jeff. It does sound like a stock car. There you go. That's it. That's all we needed. That was awesome. And that's why you subscribe to WFO. That was excellent. We really appreciated it. You didn't go too crazy.
Like I said, I think it sounds a little bit like a cup car. And
it does.
A big part of the reason for that is camshaft selection, which it's an unusual thing for me to not automatically just go with 8 sizes bigger than I really want. But when I was putting together the parts to build a motor for this thing, I had a conversation with Jason Lyon. He recommended the camshaft that's in it. And what he recommended was actually a bigger, more aggressive cam than what I was going to put in it. And obviously his background with the NASCAR engine is why it sounds like it does.
Maybe I recall incorrectly, but the cylinder heads. Didn't you get the cylinder heads from NASCAR country somewhere?
Or was that for this engine. This engine's got Dart Pro 1 CNC Windsor-style heads on it. The engine that I built for this car in the early 2000s, I had a guy call me that had stumbled across a set of old NASCAR Ernie Elliott heads. They actually had his shop logo on them. I bought those, built a motor at that time, and that actually ended up for a while in my buddy Chuck's Mustang, but he still has it. I'm not sure exactly where it is right now, but that engine, by the time I got through with it, putting it in the car was going to be a huge headache. It was a dry sump. I got carried away. So I ended up selling it to Chuck. Actually, I loaned it to him for about 4 years. And he finally said, why don't you just give me a number and I'll buy the damn thing from you. But he still has it. And so it's still around and running. But that's not this engine. This engine is a Windsor headed with wet sump, which made it considerably easier, even though it was still a big pain in the butt.
Got it. Well, I think that was an excellent big finish. Alan, I appreciate it. We're, getting together each week and learning a little bit more about Wild West engineering and get to see it. So, again, as we said a couple of weeks ago, it's not all bad, right? There's a lot of negativity going out there in the world, but we're finding our little green shoots of positivity. And now we've seen a little bit more of the shop. We know the beer is at 23 degrees, and we are hoping to get back out to the racetrack. Any final thoughts you want to share with the WFO universe out there?
Just that I really want to get back to work. I think everybody else does too. So hopefully it won't be too long. Tucson Dragway is continuing to do the Hot Wheels races. We did the one last week. They've done a couple of specialty match races as well that are going to show up on their website. So they got that going on. And we just need to get back to work. That's it. I think I speak for everybody who is bored sitting home. We need to get back to work.
I agree. Simple as that. We got to get back to it. And it's just a matter of that's our lives. We go out, we go to the races, we have fun, we work, we see each other. We want to get back to it. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate it.
All right, Joe. Enjoy the rest of the show, and we'll chat soon.
All right. There he goes. Thank you, Alan. Alan Reinhart with us here on WFO Radio. Appreciate it, Alan, for weighing in. Well, how about that? We got the whole shop tour. We got to start up the Mustang. We know about the beer. It's all loaded. Like that is great. One of the great benefits to delving into the new technology out there. And I really appreciate Alan for what he has done over the years here on WFO Radio. All right, we have got a big week here on the show. First of all, last week we had a big week, and it's getting it's evolving. The changing of the technology, the changing of the show times, the changing of so many different things has enabled us to go live. So if you haven't already picked up on the new schedule, it's something like this. Tuesday mid-afternoon, we're going to check in with Alan Reinhardt for a little Q&A, which you just heard. Then Thursday and Friday, we go back live. In that Thursday, we're scheduled to have a very big guest. I don't want to say who, though, just because the big guest was supposed to be our guest last week. Didn't come down the pike exactly, but we were able to have success and have J.R. Todd last Thursday, and it was even better. Then we had Scott Palmer and Randy Lynn Shipp, Scott Palmer and Angie Smith as our Friday Cocktails guests, which was great. We had such a good time on Friday Cocktails. And this week, we're supposed to have Tommy Johnson Jr. and Kathy Fisher and myself. And we're going to get together for cocktails. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Plus our huge guest on Thursday, assuming that happens. And we want you to check in. So how do you know when this goes down? Well, you follow on Facebook and Twitter, WFO Radio NHRA NASCAR Motorsports Podcast, the YouTube channel, WFO Radio TV. Follow me at WFO Joe, and we will figure it out. We will figure it out. But that brings us to the conclusion of another show. I want to remind you, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. There's an audio-only version of this show for those of you that can't be looking at your screen the whole time. Check it out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Write us a review. If you're watching on YouTube, click subscribe. Enable notifications, definitely. And get yourself a NitroFish, NitroFishRacing.com. Get a WFO Radio t-shirt. Randy Lynn Shipp got a great article about her in Drag Illustrated. Go check that out. One of the superstars of the sport of drag racing. Doing a great job. Final thoughts, Bobby Graham. Surprised at the latest winner in the Tucson Dragway deal. Brian Brewster is out of here. He's going to go take a ride. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who has shared the show. And thank you to our sponsors, people who make it possible. I'm talking about Magic Dry, US.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA, and Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, Frank Atlanta. Book that dragster adventure for the end of the year. Do it. Talking about Rodax, coffeeandgrills.com. Get your super protective bandana. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. Hidden Horsepower, new episode coming soon. 20% off for DIY racers. It's pretty good to get the best of the best. Samtech.edu. Start your education at full speed. Blockhead, CNC programs, motorsport, EFI, tuning, etc. Plus Factory Stock Podcast if you're getting in on the podcast game. Another Mr. Foster out there. Thank you so much. Share the show. Tell your friends. Be ready. All right, everybody, that is going to do it. We really appreciate you. Thank you for supporting WFO Radio, and we'll see you next time right here on WFO.
WFO! The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport, EFI tuning, and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
You're working in the shop. You've got spills. You've spilled oil. It's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to FrankHawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, FrankHawley.com, The Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. We're talking gourmet coffee, we're talking hot sauces, we're talking spice rubs, we're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s, figured out that life is better with great coffee, and oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit him up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Hey, this is Kathy Fisher. Join Joe Costello and myself every Sunday morning on Motor Trend for Performance TV, 8:30 a.m. Eastern. We'll see you then.
This is WFO Radio.